What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. That one parent. We got tips and tricks in dealing with helicopters with Owen Eisminger. Owen is the district athletic trainer at Kearney School District in Missouri. He's also the chair of the secondary school committee for the Missouri Athletic Trainers Association. He's got 8 years there at his district and 10 years total being certified. So Owen Eisminger, you can find him on Twitter at, let me see, ATC underscore Iceman. You can find him on Twitter there. Of course, you can join the conversation, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/helicopter. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/helicopter, since we're talking about helicopter parents. I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. Joining me today also is my buddy, Bubba Wilson.
Good to be here.
There we go. All right, Owen, then we're going to start with your athletic training story. So tell me how you got to where you are right now.
Well, I was a baseball player, cross-country runner in high school. Had a few minor injuries, nothing major. But my athletic trainer, Brenda Sneed, at the time was just awesome. I had some family members with some major knee injuries, and she would invite them over to their house after hours. Like, it was like they'd already graduated with softball injuries, that kind of stuff. I always wanted to stay involved in sports, and this gave me a way to do that. So I went to Central Methodist for my undergrad, was there for 4 years, then went to Central Missouri as a GA, then wound up here in Kearney.
All right, so what did you do for your 2 years before you came to Kearney?
So as the GA at Central Missouri, I did football, wrestling, and baseball there. Helped out with the little track there as well, but mainly football, wrestling, and baseball.
All right, so tell me a little bit about the situation there in your school district. All right, so you say you're the district athletic trainer. Are you the only one for the entire district, and how many high schools does that involve?
Yes, yeah, so I'm the only one for the entire district. We have one high school. I go 7th through 12th grade as far as covering sports goes. That's about 1,000 athletes. We're in the third largest classification for the state of Missouri as far as football goes. Small town, but we've just about everybody participates in something.
All right. I got you.
We need to back up for a second. You were a cross country / baseball player in high school. That's quite the combination of sports.
They don't go together. No, I was not good at cross country. As a freshman, I was 115 pounds back when I was skinny and little. And so I made a business decision to not play football and had to do something. So cross country it was.
What was cross country forced upon you, or is, hey, skinny kid, go run far? I mean, it was
my dad actually played baseball at Mizzou and Missouri State. His thing was, hey, if you're not going to do anything, if you're not going to play football, you got to find something to do to stay in shape.
Right.
And cross country was that option. We didn't have a whole lot of options for that fall sports session.
So you did it more to keep yourself out of trouble then, really, when it boils into it.
Correct.
Yeah. Trouble was correct. Trouble with dad, so.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so looking up as we're discussing helicopter parents, I'm going to give you what the dictionary.com says, but Owen, I want to get your definition, and then Bubba, I'll have you comment on that. So what is your definition of a helicopter parent?
Well, they can come in multiple different ways. I think a great example would be LeVar Ball that we just got the other day pulling this kid out of high school because he didn't like the high school coach. But basically what it boils down to is I think they want what's best for their kid. They think they know what's best for their kid. And they just want it their way.
All right. It's pretty much, yeah. The dictionary.com says a parent who takes an overprotective or excessive interest in the life of their child or children.
That hits the nail on the head.
Yeah.
We all just right. deal with it in the sports realm versus most of us from the academic side. So,
okay, so I'm not sure if we can consider LeVar Ball in this helicopter parent thing, because that's like psycho parent.
He's more spaceship.
I'd agree.
So that's a whole different just craziness going on right there. All right, so talk a little bit about some of the scenarios, some of the ways that you've seen helicopter parents, and then some of the ways that you've dealt with those situations.
I mean, you get those parents, you get an injury on a football field or soccer field, and they're coming flying down out of the stands. They want to hold their hand. They want to help carry them to the sideline, rush them straight to the ER. And it's just tough. It's tough to keep the kid calm because they're raising the kid's anxiety level while we're trying to calm them down and get a solid assessment. We had one case where, and it wasn't here while I was at Kearney, but we had a kid get injured pretty bad. Mom comes running out of the stands, trying to calm the kid down, trying to get a cut covered up. He's bleeding pretty good, and mom passes out. Now we've got a little bit more of a situation on our hands. So now we got to call the EMTs out for mom, who's passed out on the field and still trying to take care of her son, who's bleeding profusely. Made for a pretty little interesting right there on the field. Then you get those parents that you give them, you go ahead and do an eval, you call them, hey, think little Johnny's got a concussion. Dad, old school dad, says, he just got his bell rung. No big deal. He's fine. Get back, let him back in there. In Missouri, we got to go through the step back program. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That comes from our capital. That's a bill that was passed. And that's a hard one to fight. Because some parents, you just got to take the time to calm them down, explain to them why we have to do this, why we're doing it, and why we feel that way. And I think most times if you can do that, you can take the time, be patient, hear them out, and then explain why you think your way's better. Typically, they'll roll with that.
All right. So, Bubba, you worked in a nicer end of town, a part of town where probably both parents aren't working, where probably a mom is staying home.
Right.
And those tend to be the more helicopter type parents because they don't have anything else to do but be involved in with their kids.
We had a lot of heliports where you're talking about.
Yeah. All right. So talk about some of the situations that you've experienced.
I think, you know that helicopter parent when they're there with the injured kid and they answer all the questions for them. You know, the kid can't tell you what happened. The parent is interjecting already and probably has it on video on their phone if you wanted to see it. You know, they're the same ones that argue with the coach about their stats. I had to learn to just ignore it and not worry about it. It doesn't or it shouldn't change what I do or what we do. You just know, hey, they're going to be over the top. They're probably going to show up with their kid when they're supposed to be there for treatments sometimes and watch them. And then they'll expect you to call them all the time and give them updates and not have to politely tell them, I got too many others to deal with. That's not going to happen. I'll call you if they're not doing good. And it's really, for lack of a better way to put it, it's setting policy and it's setting boundaries. And you keep them in their fence yard and you stay in yours and it will work. There'll be some headbutting, but it's like two dogs, you know, on the other side of a fence together. There'll be some moments, but at the end, it'll all go, you know, it'll be all right.
All right. So, Owen, has there been a helicopter parent situation that you couldn't really deal with?
There's always one or two. Typically, it's younger parents that don't know who I am yet, haven't been around, don't have older kids that I've worked with, or friends of older parents that have older kids that you've worked with. Typically, they're the ones like Bubba said, that call every single day, expect an email every single time you look at them, even if it's something minor. What I try to do with them is I just try to send them a text message, something short, something quick. I think at that young age, what they is how many athletes there are, how many people we're responsible for every minute of practice, every minute after school. It's yes, we care about their kid. Yes, their child is like our child, but they're not the only kid we have that we got to worry about.
We have a lot of children, yes, and we can't pick favorites.
Correct.
All right, so we have a new group of sports medicine kids. I know they just came in. So, Felicia, I'm going to ask you, right? So I kind of warned you guys I was going to ask you some questions. If I was to say helicopter parent to you, what does that mean?
It means a parent that's always going to be right at your back.
All right. And then would you say your parents are helicopter parents?
Yes, they are.
All right, so how does that make you feel as a student?
It made me feel like they're always watching me, so it made me feel like protected all the time.
Does it ever make you feel like you can't ever do anything?
Yeah, sometimes it gets annoying.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so we'll come back to some more questions there in just a minute. So, all right. Bubba, have you had a situation to where a helicopter parent went bad?
Oh, I've had multiple ones. They go bad just at the standpoint of when you're calling them to tell them their kid got hurt and, you know, they weren't there. They didn't see it. It's all your fault. I mean, we don't have enough time to go through all of them that have happened, but I'll give you my own parenting through my own child as an example here of trying not to be a helicopter parent. Since I worked in the school setting for as long as I did in the places I did, I didn't want to be that little league dad with my daughter. For those of you that don't know, my daughter is a musician. So she took voice lessons and guitar lessons for years. And my only rule was this. If we took her to a lesson and they told her that she did not practice the previous week, then she had to pay us back for that lesson. But what I did not want to have happen is have one of her friends come over and say, hey, can Morgan go get yogurt? And we're the parents going, no, she's got to watch her last performance video and we're critiquing it. What purpose does that serve? You know, I mean, you got to learn to fall down and get back up. If we took all our rehab patients and never let them go fully participate and get knocked down and get back up, they would never know if they're okay, right? So at some point, you got to kick them out of the nest. So that was my only rule with her. And so only twice in all that time did she ever have to walk into her room after a lesson and bring me the cash for that lesson. Go be a kid, go have fun. But when you're in that, be serious. And so I've tried not to hover. Now, my wife, on the other hand, I'm trying to get the FAA to take her pilot's license away from her. That hasn't happened yet, but, you know, it is what it is.
All right, Owen, have you found that the majority of the helicopter parents are mothers?
When I first started, yes. Now I think it's kind of split. I think you see some of those dads that want to live vicariously through their son, want them to be that NFL quarterback or that D1 quarterback, or, you know, get drafted out of high school for basketball or baseball or whatever the case may be. So it's kind of more split these days.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all there.
One of the big things I try to do is at the parent meetings for the teams before the season even starts, is when I talk with the parents, one of the things I tell them is, hey, I'm not going to hold your son or daughter's hand. There's too many out there for me to hold their hand, to get them to come to the training room, to get them to do the right things. I will communicate with you as parents, and my email, my phone's always on, so you can call me. But realize if I'm busy, it may take a little bit before I can get back to you. It's probably not 911 if you're calling me, and if it is, go ahead and take them to the ER.
Right.
All right, and then I don't really have helicopter parents here at Pasadena, and again, I don't know if it's a language barrier, a cultural barrier, or a socioeconomic thing to where the parents are at work until 6, so they're not up here living, on campus watching all the kids. I would say maybe once every 3 weeks, I see a parent out watching practice. One parent out watching practice, whether football, soccer, or whatever it is. So I don't feel like we have that situation here. However, I've done quite a few contract work where I'm working club volleyball. Now, club volleyball, that is definitely helicopter parents. I mean, they live and breathe through their kids playing sports, and it's exactly what you're saying. The parent will carry the kid over for a minor ankle sprain, set her up on the table, and then make sure that they're the only person that gets your attention, and they'll answer all the questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she hurt her ankle 6 weeks ago and went to this doctor, and they said that she can play and this. And it's like, okay, well, can you show me where it hurts? Yeah, it's hurting her right here. No, sir, ma'am, I need to hear it from her. I want her to talk. But she's hurting it. I don't want, ma'am, it's better for her to enunciate and tell me where it's hurting. So Owen's got some tips and tricks here in dealing with helicopter parents. So we'll kind of work through some of this list. And then, Owen, you can kind of comment or explain it as you go. All right. So the first one that you gave me was be on top of your evals. Now, why is that important?
Well, I think, treat each kid like they're hurt. Some of those kids come in, like you said, with minor ankle sprain. It may not be a huge deal. Put some ice on it, you can tape it, you can do some light range motion, they can get better fairly quickly. The problem that I see nowadays with that is everybody's doing year-round sports. Everybody's going to sports specialization. It's hard to heal an injury, even though it's minor, if we're breaking the same muscle groups down over and over again. So make sure you take that time, treat each patient like it's in a clinical setting. Give a good solid eval, because that helicopter parent's more than likely taking that kid to a doctor. Whether you suggest that they need to go or not, they are probably taking them to the doctor. You don't want to be that athletic trainer that did half of an eval, didn't give a good assessment, and the doctor disagreed with you, because then that parent's never trusting you again.
All right, Bubba, you got anything to add on that one?
No, I think that's 100% right. I want to cycle back for just a second when we talk about them. You know, he's talked about everybody being the next NFL quarterback or whatever. I think the biggest thing that parents need to know, and they don't want to open their ears to hear it, is the statistics on going to the next level. You know, why is your kid playing the sport they're playing? They ought to be playing it because they love it. If they're playing it to go to college, you're doing it for the wrong reason, right? So if you're forcing your kid to play a sport so they can get a scholarship, shame on you. Because the best chance you have of getting a college scholarship is women's golf, and it's only like 6%. And so I think on average, it's about 3%, you know? So realistically, what are your chances? And that's just to go from high school to college. And I think it's 1% or less of the college athletes in football that go to the NFL, you know, and you have to be there 3.5, basically 4 seasons to get a pension. And so that's there for a purpose. Most people don't last 3 seasons. You know, and so again, why are you playing? And then if you're the kid and you want to go to the next level and somebody's talking to you, just because, and I use this all the time, it just because it's directional Louisiana and not LSU, you need to listen to them, because we know what's walking the halls that's a D1 athlete and what isn't a D1 athlete. Those are easy to see. Most of them are Rudies. And so if there's a place for you if you're good enough and you want to put in the work at the next level, but you have to be willing to do that. And if you're only playing just to get a scholarship, then you're, again, playing for the wrong reasons, because they're not going to get a scholarship. You know, again, you can walk, go look across the sideline when you're playing school X and you go, ooh, good looking kid. You watch them warm up and go, oh, they're really good. You know that, okay? And that's just on the other team and you don't even have a clue. You know your kids that are good and the ones that aren't. So that's the first thing, but I'm with him 100%. You've got to do a thorough eval, I'm sure we'll talk about some of this other stuff as we go, but you just can't go, oh, it's this and be done. You know, you've got to be thorough. And yeah, the doctor may disagree with you, but if you've given them an explanation and some options, you probably put it in there that it could be X, Y, and Z and not just X. So,
okay. You also mentioned we want to explain multiple possibilities and plan. There you go. And how the rehab plan will help the total body. I'm going to go ahead and read through the list and then we'll come back to each of them. He said, don't be annoyed or upset if they want a second opinion. Set them up with the best physician you can, even if it's something minor, then expect to see the best. Win trust of other parents. They talk to each other and good gossip about you goes a long way. Make them feel like their child is important. If they feel like they are one out of 100s, then they won't accept that, right? They want to be one out of one, right? You want to always stay professional. You want to go the extra mile to update them on injuries. Have coaches support, as they will go ask the coach about the athletic trainer for updates. And then even if a kid is not injured, have a relationship with the parent. Even if it's just a simple hello and ask how their kid is doing, right? So you get that parent. You know, we just had a recent injury with the knee and there was a lot of damage. So if I see that parent again, if she comes in, you know, just say hi, or if she brings her son to a game, I just say, hey, you know, how are you doing? That kind of thing. That'll help. Or maybe if I call on the day after surgery or something and just say, hey, how's your son doing? Those types of things will go a lot further. So we're going to go back up to number 2. He had give us 10 reasons. So explain multiple possibilities and how the rehab plan will help the total body. Owen?
So that goes back to the differential diagnosis. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. One thing I always talk to parents about is I may call something patellar tendonitis. They go and see their ortho or their primary care physician, and they're going to call it patellofemoral pain. Does it really matter what we call it? To those parents, yes. The rehab's going to be the same though. When we do the rehab, we want to go ahead and do the total body. And when I do that, I try to explain to our parents, hey, I'm not just trying to fix what we have hurting right now. I want to prevent other things from hurting in the future. You know, there's some strength training stuff, strength movement stuff that we can do that can help them maybe move better laterally, or help them gain a little bit of speed or a little bit on their vertical, or maybe some arm strength if we're working a baseball player or quarterback while we're doing the rehab. Those parents, if you can show how the rehab is going to help them on the field, they really tend to buy into that. And the kid tends to buy into that. They work a little bit harder in rehab in my experiences.
All right. Don't be annoyed or upset if they like us. Oh, Bubba, did you have anything on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I do. I think we as athletic trainers do a disservice. If I'm looking at Jeremy's knee and I think he's torn his ACL, I need to say, I believe he's torn his ACL. OK, Okay. If we try to sugarcoat it and not make them upset, we're not doing our job, in my opinion. I need to say everything points to Jeremy. I would tell him everything points to Jeremy tearing his ACL. If I'm going to Vegas, I'm betting ACL. I hope to be wrong. And I hope the doctor calls and says, you're wrong. I understand how you got there, but you're wrong. And I think that goes a long way too. And the other thing with that goes a long, long way is admit when you don't know. You know, I've had several times where I said, look, 2-2 is not equal in 4. We need to go figure out what this is. And all of a sudden you come back with some really freaky thing like a patella fracture or, you know, chondral fracture or something. And you go, look, it's just not adding up. We need to find out. That goes a long way too to admitting you don't know. Because at least they know when you do that, you're not just, you've got the best interest of their kid at heart. We do, but if you sit on it for 3 or 4 weeks, it hadn't got better, we ought to go. We've waited too long. Sometimes you got to say, look, I don't know, and there's no shame in saying that, and there's no harm, and let's go find out what it is.
Yep, I definitely agree. You want to check out. Our job is not to tell a kid that he's a wimp. Or, you know, a girl.
Yeah.
So that's not our job. Our job is to evaluate an injury, to implement plans to prevent injury, to rehab injuries, right? So if somebody's coming to me, then they're giving it an opportunity for trust, like Owen said down there further in his list. And so if I just say, all right, you're all right, or here's a nice bag, go along. Well, here, let me stop. Let me check you out. Let me evaluate you. Okay, if I don't find anything, if you can move normal, then okay, well, there's a lot of times where I say, okay, well, we're going to treat it like this for a week. If you're not getting any better, then we'll look at it again. And if you're not getting any better, then we're going to look at sending you to the doctor. Right? Because then that's going back with what you're saying with how your rehab plan is going to help. Again, like I said, here, it's almost always just with the athlete. It's almost never with the parent. But even at that, if I'm setting that plan and saying, we're going to do this for a week, if it's not improving at all, then we're going to look at it again, and then we'll look at sending you to the doctor. I'm still explaining what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, how we're going to progress. Either we're going to get back to practice or we're going to get to the doctor. So I think that's a really good tool, and the athlete should be able to know where they're headed, right? They should have a goal of where they're headed and when they should be back, or at least a timeline. So I think that goes right along with what you're saying. All right, second opinion. Don't be annoyed or bothered if they want a second opinion. Owen?
Most of those parents are going to want to go ahead and take their kid to the doctor. The district I work in, we high-end socioeconomic. So, and I've got several doctors that set my stance, several nurses that set my stance. The big thing is that I've heard from some of those parents is, well, you're not a doctor. Yeah, you're right. I'm not. Sometimes I know more than some of the doctors that they go to. If it's orthopedic wise, sometimes the doctor knows more than what I know. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a title. We're all humans. We all have a medical degree. So don't get upset with that. Heck, you know, they go ahead and go to the doctor. Doctor goes ahead and confirms what you've got, likes your rehab plan that you sent with them. That's a win-win in my book.
Right. I had to, you know, early in my career, I got upset when somebody would go for a second opinion. I'm like, what, they're not good enough? But then I don't care. I got a lot more things to worry about. I'm not going to lose sleep over that. You know, all I would remind them is, hey, look, if you're going to get a second opinion from the first orthopedic to another doctor, it's got to be an orthopedic surgeon. It can't be a PCP because he's not going to win in the credential battle. And so we would make that known. All I said, all right, that's fine. Just bring me a note. I don't care. You know, if you want to go from Houston to Dallas because your husband roomed with the guy that's now an orthopedic, I don't care. Bring me a note. You know, no skin off my back. Whatever the note says, that's what we're going to do. And so, you know, again, early I'd get mad. Well, wah, 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 wah. You know, I got bigger things to deal with. I got another 50 kids to worry about in this class period. I'm not, that's way down the list of priorities right now.
So, again, I've talked about our school is predominantly Hispanic. So we had a kid mess up his knee, and when we got back, I said, hey, does your mom speak English? No. Okay. Well, let me explain this to you. I want you to call her and explain it to her, and then ask if she has any questions, you're going to ask me. So I was like, look, I think you tore your ACL. I would recommend you go to the Saturday injury clinic. You're going to see an orthopedic surgeon. That's the best person. If you go to the ER tonight, you're going to sit in the waiting room for 6 hours, and they're going to x-ray you, and then they're going to refer you to an orthopedic. And you could have just done all that on Saturday instead, or on Tuesday, whatever it is, instead. And so then come back Monday, what'd they say? Yeah, it's probably torn, but I have to see an orthopedic. How long did you wait in the ER? Like all night, like 6 hours. All right, and did they tell you anything different? Nope. All right, so again, it's okay. You want to go do that? That's what you feel is best? Go for it. This is what I think. What the doctor said, it was almost exactly what I said. And it didn't hurt my feelings. I was like, well, fine, you don't trust me. He's like, well, all right, they're going to stay the same thing. There was an orthopedic surgeon on the sidelines that did the same test that I did and said, yeah, it's done, right? So it is just...
And it's not your 6 hours. It's not your time. It's not your money that you're wasting. It's the parents. So let them make that decision if they want to.
Exactly. Exactly. Just let them go. It's all right. That's fine. And I've talked about this a couple of times on the podcast. It tends to be the younger athletic trainers that would be so defensive because they feel like they have to defend their skill set. But as I've learned, okay, it's your kid. You're fine. Go ahead. Take him to the doctor.
It's your child. You can take him wherever you want for whatever you want. You want to take him to the doctor for sneezing twice? Great. Bring me a note. I don't care. You know, now that note's probably going to have you out for a period of time. Oh, well, too bad, so sad, you're out. That's what the note says. So it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
You know, it's your child. You're going to do what you think is best for your child. Whether that's truly what's best for your child or not, not for me to decide, you know? So what's the note say? All right, that's what we're going to do.
All right, so that kind of continues on with set them up with the best physician you can, even if it's something minor. And so, again, when we were partnered with Memorial Hermann Bubba, Dr. Crumby was amazing. Now our school district's partnered with Methodist. We got some really good team of orthopedic surgeons. We use Dr. Brooks now. But, again, we try to get them to the correct person. We don't just say, all right, go to the Ready Clinic. Unless they have a cold, right? If they have a cold or if it, maybe even a staph infection, we may just send them there because then they can get them the antibiotics and do that thing and whatever. But, Owen, what are your thoughts there on getting them to the best?
One of the nice things about my district, I'm actually hired by the school district. I don't teach. I just do athletic training. So I'm not affiliated with any one clinic. So I use Children's Mercy is a big one in the Kansas City area. So I have access to those doctors. I have a Children's Mercy doctor on my sideline. Liberty Hospital is the neighboring town. They have a clinic in Kearney. That doctor's on our sideline as well. So I have access to those doctors. There's a few non-affiliated orthopedic groups that are great with certain things that I've built connections with that I can get kids into there. So that way, if you know, I've got a knee and I've got maybe an orthopedist that's a little bit better with knees, that seems to be better with knees, I can refer them to that kid. If it's a shoulder, I can send them to a different doctor. If it's, you know, if it's ringworm, I can send them here. If you send them to the correct place and the parent feels comfortable, generally it's a win-win.
I agree 100%. I was burned early in my career on adamantly sending someone somewhere that they had a bad experience. So I learned real quick after that, I'll give you, if you don't have someone, I'll give you options. You can pick. If you ask me, I'll tell you. Every now and then, am I adamant that they need to go see a specific person? Let's just take a multi-ligament. There's only a few people that I'd want my child to go see if it's a multi-ligament or it's certain things, but I'm very upfront about that too. Hey, this is the individual you want to see for this. It's like, you know, who do you want to see? The guy that does joint replacements all day long or the guy that goes, that would be fun. You know, I want to see the guy that's going to do them all day long. And it's the same thing with the sports medicine side. So, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of ankle, basic knee, hand stuff that any orthopedic, general orthopedic surgeon can do. And then there's certain things. Who do you want to go repair a Liz Frank? You know, I want the foot and ankle specialist if that's what he probably does once a week, you know, because they're not that common. But, you know, versus, hey, I haven't done one of those in 2 years. That'd be kind of fun to do again. I don't want that guy, you know. So I give them options and they can pick. If they have someone, bring me a note, you know? And then, like I said, every now and then I'll be very adamant. You need to go see so-and-so.
And something you said there was, if it was my kid, this is where I would send them. I use that a lot. Cause then they know you're taking personal interest in their child.
Right.
And they trust that that's going to be a good doctor. When you use that,
it also helps when you have a relationship, you know, where you can say, hey, do you need help getting an appointment? Yeah, can you help me? Sure, hang on. You pick up the phone and you go, can you go right now? And they go, wow, that was, yeah, we can go. You know, that goes a long way too, yeah. You know, as opposed to, hey, I got one for 3 weeks from now. Can't help you. I don't know that person. You know, you're going across town. I don't know who they are. So, you know, good luck to you.
All right, Kimani, you have two older sisters that also went to school here.
Yes, sir.
Did you have a positive perception of athletic trainers before you came to us? Because I know both of your sisters came to us. Both of your sisters were athletes.
Yes, sir.
All right. So tell me about the, I guess, the reputation that we had before you got to us. Was there any sort of, did they talk about going to see the athletic trainers, going to see Jackson or Doc?
Yeah, they talked about going to see Doc a lot. Like, whenever my sister, she hurt her shoulder, like, she would always have to get it, like, wrapped or something, or, like, taped and everything. Basically, yeah.
All right, and so then did that give you a positive perception of us, or was it like, I don't want to see those guys, or what?
No, it gave me a positive, because, like, whenever she taped it, whenever y'all would tape it, like she said, like they taped it pretty good and everything, and that they did a really good job on how, like, how they did it and everything. So made me think, like, okay, that they're good. So,
all right. So the next one is win the trust of other parents, but it's not just other parents. As you know, she's, I don't know if it's third generation, but the third athlete from her family. So her older sisters talk. So you want to win the trust of the older siblings, and you know, here in Pasadena, I swear everybody's a cousin, right? They, oh yeah, that's my cousin. Okay, right? So either, you know, their family members, each of their children are interconnected, not just the parents, but the siblings as well. So you want them to speak positively, just like Kamani was saying, you know, her sister was saying, yeah, you know, they helped it feel better. Even if that's all she said, she didn't give them details, or she didn't be like, oh, you know, Jackson's the best, which I'm sure she said all the other times, right? Then is
checks in the mail.
At least there's that positive perception going on. So, Owen, what are some of the ways that you've gained trust of parents?
One of the big things is like you were saying, those parents that have a kid that's older, you do a great job with them. Even if they're, you know, even if they're not injured, I try to have every single athlete, make sure I know their name, make sure I talk to them when they come by. Every once in a while, ask them how they're doing, that kind of thing. Just build that rapport with the kid, because they're gonna talk to their brother or sister, or they're gonna go home and say, "Hey, Owen said this. You know, it really helped my day out." Or "Hey, he did a great job on my ankle rehab. It feels great." Mom and dad are gonna hear that positive feedback at home. Little brother and little sister are gonna hear that positive feedback at home. And that's just going to keep building that rapport and make them trust you a little bit more.
Now, Bubba, I know you've told me the story before, to where you had a mom took her two kids, I think, and got a physical somewhere else, but then also brought her daughters to physical night with you, right? That was because you had built that relationship and she knew it was important as part of your fundraiser and that right. kind of things, right? But right. But if she didn't trust you, then she would have said, "Nah, screw that guy."
Right. Right. The biggest thing for me on the building trust is you got to be honest up front. You know, again, don't sugarcoat it. Don't try to not hurt their feelings because little Jimmy or little Susie's hurt. You've got to do that. But also you got to show that you're available, you know, to those kids. And that means, so the door's got to be open. And then when they come in, within reason, you got to do your best to work with them. And I think the best compliment you can get is when other parents tell, you know, a parent tells other parents and their kid, if you go in, you put in the work and do what they tell you to do, you're going to get better, but they can't do it for you. That's the best compliment really you can get. If they're just saying, you know, whatever, you know, then, you know, they knew I was there. They knew we were there. They knew our hours. It wasn't a secret. They're, you know, the door's unlocked. If we're there, it's open. If we're there, come on, watch us work. And I think it's, you know, similar to when the coaches ask parents, come on out to practice and watch. There's no secrets, but I think they also want to show sometimes how little their child is actually participating and paying attention. Walk on in and see what we're doing. You know, if you want to ask, you know about your kid, I don't have a problem with that. And I just don't hang out all day.
Yeah, that's one thing I'll get. I'll get a kid that may not necessarily be in a school sport, being in a small town, and I'll get a text from a number that I don't have saved. I don't save parents' numbers. "Hey, so-and-so got injured. Can you, you know, hurt their finger? Can we bring them up and you take a look at them?" I don't think it hurts to on a younger kid. That opinion may be, "Hey, go to the doctor," or just to kind of calm that parent down.
Right.
And give them a little bit of comfort. I'll do that quite a bit, or I'll be out and somebody will say, "Hey, my 5-year-old or my 5th grader got a concussion playing tackle football this weekend. This is what the doctor said. What do you think?" Obviously, you're not going to step on that doctor's toes and override it, but you can go along the lines of, "Hey, if it was one of our athletes, here's the step back program we would use. Here's the link to the website where you can find that resource." then they can take that information back to their doctor. You don't, I mean, obviously that's a situation where you got to be kind of careful because it's outside of your workforce, your liability insurance and stuff. But it goes a long ways if you're willing to reach out and help even outside of school.
Right. I think that goes right along with what we have listed as number 7 is always stay professional, because you want to always say that he is a medical professional. You don't ever say, no, that doctor doesn't know what they're talking about. Be like, well, you know, they may not be up on the latest research or whatever. You want to always stay professional and speak well of other medical professionals because you want them to do the same of you. If I say, you know, that athletic trainer there over at Memorial, Herman Bubba, he's so old, he can't even spell Lachman or whatever, right?
You'd be right, but...
Well, that's what I said. I couldn't either, so figure we're equal. Then that looks badly on him, but also on me, because that's putting both athletic trainers down. So just like you're saying, you want to stay professional in your communication, speak well. Look, here's what we would do. You know, take it and do what you want with it. So I definitely feel that staying professional is important. And like you said earlier, don't be upset if they get a second opinion or, you know, and I think I skipped over number 6 was make them feel like their child is important. Right. They want to feel like they're the most important. Their child is the most important person to you, which at that time of evaluation, it should be. And then you just want to communicate as well as possible. Right. You know, I'm not going to call every parent for a scratch or for a sprained thumb. But if it's something that needs to go to the doctor, we're going to call. We're not going to just say, all right, we'll tell your parent to take you to the doctor.
I wasn't going to let that kid show up at home on crutches and without making an attempt to talk to a parent or guardian. There's times you just don't get them.
Right.
You know, so here's a little note. Here's what's going on. They can call me, and if not, we'll see you for sure and maybe somebody else in the morning for treatment, and let's go from there. You know, but they weren't going to just show up with nothing, you know.
Yeah, and I've done that sometimes. I've called a parent. They don't have their name on the voice message. I'm not going to leave a message about the kid because I don't know if that's the correct phone number, not the correct phone number. So, you know, kid hurts his hand pretty badly. Say we got UCL tear in the thumb or whatever. I'll go ahead and split them and write out a handwritten note and say, hey, take this home to him. So that way, if mom and dad do call, because I always put my phone number on it, if they do call and they're like, hey, what's going on? My son got sent home with a splint. You know, what's the deal? You didn't get in contact with us. I tried. Because of FERPA and HIPAA, you didn't have your name on your voice message. I didn't want to leave a message on the wrong number. I sent a note home with little Jimmy or little Sue. Did you not get that note? Then they know, hey, either my son or daughter didn't give me the note, or they can say, yes, I got that note. That's why I'm calling you back.
You know, I've never even considered that. There's been times where I left a voicemail, but I didn't think about them needing to have their phone number or their name on there saying, hey, you know, this is Jeremy Jackson, leave a message. Because, I, you know, that's the number that the kid gave me. They gave me their parents' number, so I'm just calling and let them know.
I'm not saying that you can get in trouble for doing that. I mean, things happen. The kid gave you the number. It is what it is. I've got fat thumbs. I could have pushed the wrong button
but there's nothing wrong with, hey, this is Bubba Wilson. I need to speak with someone concerning Jeremy. Okay. That's not a violation.
Yeah. That's you know, perfectly good. Okay.
And so it's not like, Jeremy's a closed head injury where one pupil's bigger than the other. Now we got problems, you know, but or potential problems, but just saying, hey, it's so-and-so, you know, with so-and-so, need to talk to you about so-and-so. That's a lot of so-and-sos, but you know, I mean, that's not a problem. There's 8 million whomever names, you know, so that doesn't pose an issue.
Yeah, and one thing I'll do now, especially with technology today, is so you go ahead and sit, you call them, you don't get an answer. Follow that up with a text right away and be like, hey, this is Owen from the athletic trainer from Kearney. I was trying to get a hold of and put the parent's name there. Could you give me a call back? Typically, that gets me a response right away. A lot of parents are at work or they're at home. They don't answer their cell phone if they don't know whose number is calling them.
Right. Well, and a lot of them can't have access to their cell phone except for breaks and lunch anyway or whatever. So, you know, they may not get anything for 4 hours, you know. So
that's a good little tip right there. So call and you can leave an obscure voicemail. Just
vague.
Vague. There you go. Vague. That's the right word. Just saying, here's who I am and I'm trying to get a hold of this person. Please call me back. And then follow it up with the text. That way you have a record of a call and the text saying I tried. And then you say, okay, well, that was just the wrong number.
But that's also why it's important to have a work number too. You know, if they have that, because there's times you got to call them at work and go, I'm an athletic trainer at so-and-so. I need to speak with so-and-so concerning their kid. It's important. And they'll go get them. You know, I mean, I had a dad one time that we were good friends, but I called, he had wanted some information. I called him and left a message with his secretary, and he panicked thinking it was about one of his kids. I'm like, that's my fault. I didn't tell you it wasn't about one of your kids. I meant to tell you it's about the info you wanted. He goes, oh, okay, then I don't need to, you know, he was laughing after that. So then when I would call and say, it's not about the children. Call me when you can. So he knew, but you know, same thing. Yeah. Why am I calling him at work? Well, you would ask for information. Typically, if I called him at work, the wife wasn't available and it was something bad. So he had four kids, so I dealt with all of them at some point. So, yeah.
All right, Owen, how do you go the extra mile to update parents and coaches, I guess, with injuries?
I think really it's with those helicopter parents, I think it's key to send them a regular update, whether it's at the end of the week, whether it's biweekly, however you want to do it. You got to feel that parent out and know, see what that parent needs to try to keep them from calling you 75 times a day. It may be as simple as a text. Hey, little Johnny did great in rehab today. His pain level decreased. We're still on track to potentially return on this date. A weekly deal. Hey, we had a great week of rehab. This is where he stands now. This is where I want him to be by the end of next week. If you have any questions, go forward. And you can do that via, you know, email, text, phone call, whatever kind of relationship you have with that parent. I do a lot of mine through text. But it's just keeping that open line of communication. And if you're updating them, it's kind of like in the classroom where they can log into, at our school, we've got PowerSchool, they can log in and see their grade based off of each assignment. That they can open up their email, or they can open up their text, and they see this, see the grade that kid got on his rehab and how he's doing. So that way they know if Johnny's not working hard, they can say something to Johnny about working harder so he can get back to what he likes to do quicker.
I know this summer we did the podcast at NATA at the Dragonfly Max booth, and I know that they have something similar to where the parents can log in and see any of the notes or any additions that you put in there. And so those tools help also, but it's still lacking that personal communication, you know, instead of it just being like, oh, well, the app is really helpful in telling me where my kid's progress is. It's still, you need to make that contact and in some way, either call, text, email, or whatever, and then be available for messaging or phone calls or the parent coming up. So just going the extra mile rather than it just being some software that manages the contact, make it personal.
And if you make it personal, it goes back to that their child feels like they're one out of one, not one out of 100.
Right.
Right. We would always tell them, hey, we're going to, if they take, you know, I always tell them, like I tell the coaches, look, there's a reason on ESPN they'll say 4 to 8 weeks. We don't know. If we knew the exact day they were coming back, I wouldn't be working where I am. I'd be in a palace somewhere with people lined up around the block to pay me to tell them exact information. And so, you know, we'll say, look, here's our goal. We're going to work towards achieving that goal. And as long as things are moving forward, I really don't need to update you on a regular basis. That, if you don't hear from me, that's good news. If you hear from me, we've had a setback or I've got a question, but feel free to contact me at any time, you know, to talk about it. But I'd also tell those that would do it, nothing's changed from athletic period to after school practice in the 2 hours since they've been here that's going to matter. So you don't need to call me twice a day. You know, now if it's a head injury, we're going to talk a little more. But again, we're there. And here's our times. Here's our hours. Here's when your kid can come in. Depending on what's going on, we'll make exceptions for coming in on the weekend. We'll do whatever we've got to do to help get your kid better, but we can't treat a ghost. So they've got to show up, and just because they show up doesn't mean they're working, right? They've got to work. And I'll be the first one to tell you and your kid both that they're not showing up or working, but I'm also the first guy that'll go to bat for them if they're doing everything they're supposed to do. So
we're streaming this live on Facebook on the Secondary School Athletic Trainer group. So it's a pretty good group. I know I talked to Ken Keischer this summer at NATA. And one of the things there is some of these people, like their coaches will say, don't go to the athletic trainer. Don't go to the athletic trainer. You know, they're going to keep you out, or they don't know what they're doing. Or the coaches will try and do the taping or injury evaluations themselves. So one of the things that you have here, Owen, is have the coaches support. Right here at my school, I know that some coaches are, whatever Jeremy says, that's what we're doing. And some of them are like, all right, just go see the athletic trainer. You know, some of them are really supportive and some of them are not, whatever that is from their past experience, from their lack of relationship with me. And so what are some of the things that you have done to make sure that your coaches support what you say and they're not going to turn around and tell the kid the opposite?
I've got a great group of coaches right now, to be honest with you. They're so easy to work with. One thing that I really like to do is we have a coaches meeting. The athletic director gets everybody together. They go through some NCAA rule stuff. They go through all our requirements to keep kids eligible at the high school level, that kind of thing. I'll get up and talk and give them updates on will it change, or, you know, give them a chance to ask questions. I try to help coordinate, get them different places to go, get their first aid CPR done. All of our coaching staff has to have that. That's a requirement. So that's one way that, you know, we kind of show that. Another thing I like to do is, you know, if I see a coach out on the field limping, or, you know, you see that from time to time, just walk up to them, and they're a human being too. Just be like, hey, are you all right? I know you've been spending a lot of hours. I noticed you got something going on. Is that something you want me to take a look at? And just give them that free evaluation, because then they're gonna see what you do. They're going to trust you. A lot of these coaches are ex-athletes. They don't want to set out. They don't want their kids to set out. And you just got to let them know, hey, my goal is not to set this kid out. My goal is to have you have the healthiest team possible on the field that night. Now, that may mean sometimes that I do have to set a kid because he's at 70% and he's going to injure himself even worse. And then just because we prolong how long they're going to have to be out for this injury. I think if you can put it in that perspective that, you know, yes, this game is important, but it's not going to win you a state title today. We got to have this athlete healthy if we want to do that. So let's go ahead and take the time. Let's get them healthy. So when the playoffs come around, we're the healthiest team out there.
You're a little more politically correct than I am about that. I was lucky in the school district I spent most of my – all the school districts I work in, but the one I spent most of my time in, our athletic director would get up in front of all the coaches and give them the basic six things that would get you fired in that school district, and we know what most of them are already. But one of them he would say was going against the athletic trainer or physician's directive. And then we would have a coaches meeting on our campus, and I had a coworker, so I would basically stand up there and say, there's two people on this campus that do what I do, me and so-and-so. We don't coach. You don't play athletic trainer. And if we stay there, then we'll get along. But you can't say you've played sports, so you've been hurt, therefore you're an athletic trainer, because if that's the case, I've played sports, therefore I'm a coach, and I will go adjust your drills accordingly. And that also means I've had surgery and watched surgery, therefore I'm a surgeon. That doesn't fly. And so I would also tell them, you want to listen to us because my goal is to not see a soul, right? We want to show up in the morning, read a book, never have to do anything, and leave and go, it was a great day. But that's not realistically going to happen. And so when it comes down to it, if I'm having to put my left hand on a Bible and raise my right and solemnly swear, you better hope I'm on your side and not against you when it comes down to that. But they were told.
Yeah, one of the things I like to say, I like to tell our coaches in that meeting is, I look at myself as an insurance policy. Mm-hmm. You buy an insurance policy, you hope you never have to use it. Yeah, you're paying money to it, but you kind of just forget about it. If you know, in today's world, they can go ahead and take it out of your paycheck. You hope you never have to use that. Use that insurance policy. You got to play by the insurance policy's rules.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's, my goal is not to set that kid out. My goal is to get him out there. I would prefer to sit on the sideline and just have great seats for every game, not have to tape any kids before the game,
right.
You know, not have any stress in the world. That would be awesome. Right. Realistically, that never happens. But I think as long as you have an open line of communication with those coaches, you reinforce that you're not only looking out for the best interests of those students that are hurt, but you're also looking out for the best interests of their program, that you want to see that program succeed. They're going to buy into you. They're going to trust you. They're going to listen to your opinions.
Right. Well, and, you know, and every now and then you got to tell them, look, the kid can't get in a stance. He can't fire out. He can't sprint. He can't stop, and he can't move laterally. But if he's that important to you, put him out there. And by that time, they go, okay, I'll shut up and move on. You know, our goal is to tell you who can. Your goal is to coach up those that can. You know, that's what it is.
Yeah. And the one thing, you know, example with how, you know, my coaching staff, we had a kid, it was a few years ago now, that just didn't look right out there on the field. Team's driving down the field. It was a fairly close game. It was a regular season game. And I walked over to coach and go, hey, little Johnny's not doing great. We need to take a timeout and get him off the field. Obviously, by that time, the next play, the ball's getting ready to get hiked. He watches him specifically on that next play. And he goes, man, you're right. Takes a timeout. We pull the kid off. We do an eval on him. Sure enough, he had an ACL tear that he was trying to gut through out there. But that's one of those deals where they're like, man, he is, you know, he's actually watching. He's bought in. He's bought into this program. He wants what's best for us. He wants to give us a chance to succeed.
Right. And I think, you know, a lot of this goes back to, as one of my good friends says, you got to have a conversation ahead of time. And so when I would interview for jobs, I tell those people, I said, look, this is a team. I'm part of this school. I'm part of this football team. I'm part of this basketball team or whatever. I'm a staff member for that. My goal is just like everybody else, is to be successful. But sometimes to be successful, I've got to remove somebody from that participation, okay, for a period of time, however long that is. And so I want to win as bad as everybody else, but I'm going to do it protecting the kids, the emotions. But you got to have a relationship with your coaches and not just come in and say, I'm the trainer, you got to do what I say, because nobody's going to listen to you then. You know, so you got to spend time with them. That doesn't mean go to dinner every night and that kind of things, but spend time with them and talk. And I had no problem to this day explaining to you why so-and-so cannot do certain things at practice that day and why he can do the other. But don't question me on why he can't do everything. You know, that's not your job. Your job is to coach up those that are out there to the best of their ability and to your ability. And as long as you have that relationship ahead of time, my head football coach at my last school is our campus coordinator, and he would just say, what he says goes, don't argue about it. And so there was no problem, you know. Now, I had no problem with him going, this is why Jeremy cannot do these things and why we'll let him do these. And go, oh, that makes perfect sense. Okay, you know. So, you know, on Friday night, you get a kid hurt. I had a coach I talked to. I didn't even talk to the head coach. And I would hear him on the headphones. So-and-so's out. What's going on? I don't know. I don't care. He's out. I'll update you later. You know, we'll get the info. Let's move on. And so, you know, you got to have that relationship. Because if not, you're battling all the time. Everything's a justification.
The last thing we have on the list is even if a kid is not injured, you have a relationship with the parent. But I would also go to say with the kid. So you want to build that relationship. So if you have a positive relationship, so our athletic training room isn't designed the best. It's close to the entry door or the back hallway of the gym where kids just always hang out. So if I'm sitting there yelling to kids, get out of here, go home, go do something productive with your life, or I say, hey guys, do you mind hanging out outside? I got to use this hallway for rehab. There's a big difference in the way that they perceive me and whether or not they're going to speak well to their classmates, whether or not they're going to come to me. Because if they hate me just in the hallway, they're going to not want to come to me and not do what I say. And they're going to be quicker to speak poorly of me to their parents and say, yeah, the other trainer didn't do anything. Like, or if they have a positive perception of me, then they're going to be more forgiving if we forget or miss something.
Correct. One thing, and mine's kind of the same way. My athletic training room at football is actually right in between the softball and the football locker room. There's doors on both sides that go in. The back doors out of that go straight out to the softball field. The front doors go straight out to the football field. I get a lot of kids that come in there and just say, hey, how you doing? You know, or they just want to come talk to their friend while they're waiting because there's 25 kids that need to get taped. I obviously can't tape up 25 at once. You know, as long as they're being quiet, respectful, I'm great with that because they're around. They get to see the positive impact. They get to go, you know, and they're not scared to come in. I know it sounds crazy. Some kids are scared to go see medical professionals because if professional tells them there's something wrong, then there's legitimately something wrong. They're probably out. So I think if you can build that positive relationship beforehand, you know, ask them, you know, in the lunchroom, hey, how'd you play last night? If it was a road game, something like that. Or after the game, I know one of the things we do with football is all the parents come down on the field after we've had our meeting and we're cleaning up the field, and they'll take pictures with their son or daughter or whatever the case may be, which sometimes can get a little annoying because everybody stays around so long and it takes forever on a Friday night when you got to be up there at 6 a.m. the next morning for a cross-country meet or something like that. But it doesn't hurt to spend that extra 5 minutes to say, hey, how's Johnny doing? I know he's a sophomore in college now. How's he doing up there on the football team? Is he getting to play? Knowing that you still have an interest in the family and those kids really go a long way into making those, you know, not making, but having those parents kind of build that trust more.
Yeah, very good. I agree, as I just mentioned earlier. All right, so one of the other things that you said is, you kind of summed it up in a paragraph, but you said patience, confidence, and communication are the key to success with helicopter parents, right? And I think we've kind of gone over all these tips. Again, I have them listed here in the show notes, which is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/helicopter. But I also looked up a couple different websites where it says Teacher Hub, since most of us working in the secondary schools are teachers or at least can relate to this situation. And it says similar things. Listen to the parents' concern. Give the student a chance to speak, as we've kind of mentioned earlier. Redirect the parents' energy. Help the parent focus on important issues. Validate their opinions. And I think those are right along in what we're saying is, if you make them feel terrible, then their opinion of you is going to be terrible. Listen, take your time, do your job to the best of your ability, be willing to communicate, open to second opinions, those kind of things. So, again, if you're dealing with helicopter parents, definitely reach out to Owen. He, like I said, you can find him on Twitter. His email's here. And so it's an easy way to get a hold of him and ask there. Or, obviously, Bubba on Twitter, ATCLAT Bubba, right?
Yep. Real quick, though, I think one thing just thinking about that I would always do, and it was not really on purpose, but I would always tell that parent, what I need from you is to get your kid here on time. So now that's their job. That you need something to do, that's your job. I need that kid here to get better. If they show up for 5 minutes, they're going to tell you all they got was X or nothing at all, because there is no time to do anything. So they've got to get here. Please understand, I may need them to stay a little later sometimes, but I'll try to let you know. But I need them here early, because we opened early in the morning. I need them here on time to get some work in. That way, if anything's wrong, I can call you. We've got time to go to the doctor. I can talk to our coaches. Everybody knows, and it's not a surprise come athletic period. And when they knew that, oh, you're here in the mornings? Yeah, it's posted everywhere, but that's okay. We'll go by, you know, we'll go through it again. Yes, I need them here at this time. And that went a long way, because now it's like, okay, they'd get them out of bed. They'd make sure they had breakfast, and they'd get them up there. And, you know, they'd call, did he show? No. All right, we'll take care of that. After a while, you had that relationship, you know, again, where they would say, if you do what they say and work hard at it, you're going to get better. That's the best compliment we could get from parents. So,
all right, very good. Oh, and you have any kind of sum it up last thoughts?
That's about all I got. I think we hit all the key points. Thanks for having me today.
Yep. I'm going to ask all the listeners, I'm going to ask you to subscribe on the email list, because actually I sent out an email saying, hey, these are the topics I'm going to do. I need some help with these. And Owen responded, said, hey, what about this topic? And here are my thoughts on that. And so that's why here he is, the first one of the school year. You're starting off the podcast season again for us again. Just great. This is really cool because I get to learn. But by joining the email list, which is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/email list, or if you go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, it's right there on the right hand side, or you can join it there. That also gives you the first heads up of whenever I'm going to be somewhere at a workshop, or if I'm going to be giving away prizes. You know, people contact me, hey, can I give something away on your show? That kind of thing. And also, coming up in March, we'll be giving away several different prizes. I've already spoke with a lot of the people that gave last year, and then speaking with new people. So again, if you go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/email list, or just sportsmedicinebroadcast.com right there on the right-hand side, and sign up, then you can be on the show, be a part of the show, give your insight, or win some prizes. Again, Owen on Twitter is ATC_Iceman, ATC_Iceman. Bubba is on Twitter, ATCLAT Bubba. I am Mr. Jeremy Jackson there. But again, that's in the show notes. His phone number, his email is also in there. Without much further ado, for sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/helicopter, Jeremy, Bubba, Owen, Eisminger, out in Missouri. And that is a wrap.